Ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I am the host of the show, and I'm excited that you are here and I am here, and we get to have another Adventure in Truth together. This is going to be a great show. I'm excited to have Moshe Engelberg back to the show, Conversations with Moshe. Moshe is the author of an amazing book and focus in business called The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business and Putting Love to Work, and creating a powerful movement in the business world as we create a powerful movement in other parts of the world. But together, we create amazing movement all over the place. So our show today is going to be interesting. This is a continuation of the next in the series of self-awareness shows that I seem to be focused in lately. And the focus of this show is about why, and what is my why, and why that is so important. And we're not going to look at it from the conventional perspective necessarily about the grand why. We'll talk about that for a little bit, but more than that, I want to talk about the why, because there is a why to everything we choose. There is a why to everything we want. And a lot of times that why informs us of our alignment with or without that thing. So the way I kind of look at this is if you have a desire and you've been focusing on that desire and you find yourself in that feeling place of, it feels like it's right there, but I can't seem to get it. It feels like it's right here, but I, for some reason, I'm not being able to bring it fully into my world. That's where the why comes into play. And we're going to talk about that in depth here when Moshe comes in to kind of pull back the layers of understanding what your why is indicating and what you can learn from spending time in the why of what you want and what you desire. So it's going to be an interesting show. It's going to be a lot of interesting, fun dive and information about this. So stick with us. We'll be right back. If I can find my buttons, here we go. Oof, that was a race to get my buttons. Hi, fear's a choice. So this platform that I use to have this show, to do this work, is all sort of driven on the same idea. The Adventures in Truth platform is all about, ultimately, the physical, taking this fear as a choice to a whole other level, being able to break down these concepts and open up these ideas and dive really deeply into the things that we take for granted or maybe don't spend time paying attention to or need to be more conscious of. And fear is a choice. Unraveling the illusion of our separation from love is a powerful tool to begin that journey. Because what I can tell you about this book is this book will change your relationship with fear. How can I say that? Well, what I know about the book, what I know about the information in the book, is that you get to learn in stages about the evolution of fear, one, in the human experience, how it's utilized, how it continues to be utilized, but then how we pick up the mantle of that training, as it were, and continue the momentum of a fear-based consciousness in our experience. What this book does is it brings that into absolute clarity so that you can see your relationship with fear, your personal relationship. And that's why I think this book is so powerful, because it helps you to evolve that experience within yourself and then begin to change it, begin to have a new relationship, begin to see that relationship differently. And as you do that and you shift out of a fear-based consciousness, you begin to move into an opportunity-based consciousness. So the best visual I can give you for that is imagine that you're looking through a I forget what those are called. I keep calling it a monocle, but that's not what it is. The thing that pirates used to look through, whatever. But just it gives you one very limited viewpoint of your world, and you have to move around a lot to get all the perspective in your world. And that's what being in a fear-based consciousness is about. It dumbs down your experience. The opportunity-based experience, on the other hand, is a whole other experience. That's more like this huge opening that now you're seeing through both eyes, but you're getting the periphery. You're getting a whole lot more of the potential and possibility that exists. So fear is a choice. Oh, look, again with my buttons. Fear is a choice book.com. You can go to fearisachoicebook.com to learn about more about the book, get testimonials, see some videos, but even more importantly, the links to order the book are there, and you can go there and go directly to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, and all that good stuff. So please check it out. I think you're going to enjoy it. I think you will find that it's a powerful book, and we'll be right back. All right, my world is good. We're going to keep this one shorter today, but this is the year of conscious creation, everybody. This is the year that you become aware and more conscious of how you create and what you create. And that's why this show is so powerful today. When you understand the why of your creation, you begin to have more ability to consciously align, to consciously choose how you get engaged those things that you want, because oftentimes the physical things we want aren't really the physical things we really want. They're the representation of. So my world is good. My world is good is born out of this desire to create a tipping point for all of us, that we have much more focus into the goodness of our world than the not goodness of our world. And of course, when we set that intention, right, we set that clarity, we start to build that intensity, my world is good, then the things that exist in our world between where we are and my world is good have to begin to evolve and change. And so as we all do this together, as each of us steps into this movement, and the cool thing is this movement doesn't require anything but your energy, focus, and attention. I don't need to know anything about you. I don't need your email address. I don't need your money. I don't need anything from you except your focus, intention, and attention to bring this powerful energy into your world and then into our world, because it has to start in your world. We are 7.5 to 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting one planet. And those unique worlds are such because no one can create your world for you. No one can live your life for you. No one can change your life for you, but you. So we have to generate as we have been all along, but now we do it consciously. Consciously creating change. My world is good. My world is good. Using that, feeling it, seeing it happening in the world, and then feeling it some more so that your perception, remember, your perception is the reflection of your beliefs, your thoughts, your ideas, your beliefs and feelings, just mirrored back to you. So what you're looking at in the world is all the things you believe and all the things that you connect to and align with. And that when you begin to understand that, then you begin to become more conscious of how you align with, what you align with, and why you choose it. So my world is good. 10 times in the morning when you first wake up in bed, you just come back to consciousness. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. You're in a clear, clean space. Put that energy out there. And then do it again later in the day. And then use it throughout the day. If you feel your alignment going wonky, my world is good. Anchor yourself in that clarity, so that you begin to change the perception of what you see around you. My world is good, and your world is good too. On the other side of this, we will have Moshe on, and we're going to dive into this amazing topic. Remember, my world is good. See you on the other side. Good morning. Good morning. You know, I talk as soon as I start talking about my buttons, I start neglecting. Good morning, Moshe.
How are you? Good morning, Jim.
Good to see you.
You too. Here we are.
Another amazing conversation. I so love looking forward to these days when you and I get to dive into all this fun stuff. So we had, in our last conversation, we got a little bit into the blame game at the end of the show, and we thought that that might be our topic. And then I shared with you that I had this whole experience about this, the idea of why, and understanding our why. And I thought, okay, this must be where we need to go. And then as it's evolved, it seems like that. So I'm excited because this is still a powerful conversation in this line of self-awareness that we've been doing these last few shows. And so I've kind of lumped him into this category because I think it's great that we can, you know, that if someone really wants to dive into some deep concepts about self-awareness, we've got these collection of shows that can help people really focus in a different way. So today, understanding your why, it's that important. Anything you want to say about the why as far as our conversation is concerned? Or your own experience of why?
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize what you mentioned earlier, the difference between the big why am I here, why do we exist, what's all that stuff, with the why that we attach to every choice we make, often without awareness.
Love that, and beautiful and to the point. And I'm reminded, and this has come up in my mind a few times as I've been meditating on this and thinking about this and contemplating, remembering the childhood experience, remembering the conversation with a parent or with a significant other. Daddy, why this? Well, because ABC. But Daddy, why? Well, because ABC. But Dad, why? And after about the 27th why or the third why, depending on where you're at in the conversation, it becomes a thing, right? And so it reaches this point in the conversation of why where you run out of what you know, and now you have to go with what not only what you don't know, but you have to either get into a space that you're unfamiliar with to follow where your child is going, or you shut the conversation down because not knowing that why becomes too uncomfortable. Because you can't give them the answer you think they want. And the answer that they want is is on that place that you don't want to go. And again, I say don't want to go because we're just not trained that way. We haven't been trained to go to that place of kind of discomfort, but the place of not know. The place of receptivity that says, wow, I don't know the answer to that question. I wonder what the answer is, and allowing that to stimulate a little more curiosity. But we're going to get into that even in more depth here on the other side of the break. But this topic for me, I think, is going to be really powerful because it's going to help us, I think, ultimately be able to choose our alignment a little differently and a little more consciously. And we're going to connect those dots together here as we go through. So we'll be back right after this. We're going to do, not even right after this, we don't have to take a break. We're going to go into focusing. Let's take a moment to focus. So Moshe, we'll be right back.
All right.
Whoops. Oh, God. Yay, whoops. Okay. I'm enough with these buttons today. Enough with these buttons. All right, guys, we're going to take a moment to focus. Feeling things a little scattered right now. So we're going to pull this in. I don't know what's happening with me in that, but we're going to situate this. So this, for me, this moment of focus is all about bringing us together in energy. This is about the whole idea of where two or more are gathered. I like to start the show with this so that we can kind of harness and focus our awareness together into this topic so that the most powerful, most clarity, most useful information can come through this conversation so that we all benefit from it. We all get a big giant step forward in our own experience. So right now, I want you to just become aware of your breath. I want you to focus your breath, breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you begin to focus into that rhythm of breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, just become conscious of your breath, how you breathe, as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And when I say how you breathe, I just want you to become aware of how breath moves in you. Maybe you've not paid a lot of attention to your breath. Maybe you don't really notice your breath. What I want you to do is become conscious of it. as you're breathing, where is it going? Is it lifting high in the chest? Is the breath going into your belly? Is it filling your chest? Where is your breath as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth? And as you focus into that breath, bring your awareness into the heart space, which should naturally be happening, because when you focus into the breath, you focus into the chest. Into the chest, in the center of the chest is the heart space. And as you focus into that space, you'll notice that the breath and the heart are connected. There is a symbiotic relationship. As you call forth this prana, this chi, this life force, and you bring it into your body, this new energy, this amazing life force energy filtering through your body, as you bring it in, it enlivens the heart. It stimulates the emanation of the heart energy in your system, because they're all connected. This is the center of who you are. So as you breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth, now I want you to become aware, as you're sitting in that stimulated space, I want you to become aware of your field. That is, the field is the energy that surrounds you. That is all of you. You are not limited to this physical body. There is so much more of you that emanates from you. And it's how you experience things. It's how you interact with things. It's all about energy. Become aware of that gorgeous, enormous field that surrounds you. And as you become aware of that field, I want you to consciously pull that field into your space. I want you to bring it into the heart. I want you to consciously say, I'm bringing my energy into my heart, all of my energy focused into my heart. And notice as you bring that energy together, the intensity and the beauty and the light and the spark that begins to glow from that space. Notice in your body, as you bring that field into your heart space, the warmth and the tingling that goes on through your whole physical body as you pull all of that extraordinary energy inside of you, because that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to experience you from the inside, because the more you connect to you, the better able you are to create the changes you want, to build the life you want, to feel the things you want, to experience the things you want. And part of that is understanding the why. And we're going to dive into that. But right now, feel all of that incredible energy inside of you and let it roam around. Let it move through your body. Let it move up through your neck and into your head. Become aware of the muscles and tendons and ligaments and lymph glands and blood vessels and nerves that are all in this area of your head. And let yourself travel through. Be in one, in the moment with your own brain, with your own internal experience, traveling around to the back of the brain, connecting to where the brain connects to the spine. And as you're there, become aware of this gorgeous cord of energy, of life-giving life force that's surrounded in this miraculous fluid and protected by the bone that allows you flexibility, that allows you movement, that allows you to be upright, that allows you to connect, that alignment allows you to connect. And let that consciousness roam through the body and just become aware of all the aspects of your internal experience. Just let it wash over you. That awareness can come in pictures and feelings and sounds and music. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different experience. Let yourself experience yours. And as you do now, I want you to focus even more deeply into the breath. We're going to do a focused breath process now. You're going to breathe in to a count of four. You're going to rest at the top, feeling full. You're going to release from the mouth, purging all of that new energy and air to a count of six, so that you get all the deepest parts of that old energy and old air out of the system before you call forth new energy. But even before you do that, you'll rest in the emptiness, in the void for just a moment. So focusing again consciously into the heart space, fully aware of the breath and all of the energy that you are now a beaming, glowing sun. And as you inhale, two, three, four, and at the top you feel full, you feel amazing, and now you consciously choose to surrender all of that energy. Two, three, four, five, six, purging it all out and then resting in that void, resting in that emptiness, preparing to receive. As you inhale, engage the lungs. Two, three, four, bringing all that amazing vital life energy into your body, feeling your body, relaxing your shoulders and your neck. and then consciously choosing to let it all go again, surrendering. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, feeling the emptiness, feeling the settledness in the emptiness, being comfortable in the void as you consciously engage your lungs to call forth more energy as you inhale. 2, 3, 4, feeling that amazing fullness, feeling that oxygen, feeling that life force emanate through the whole body as you release it again. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and rest in that amazing empty space, that beautiful space that we neglect, the space of preparedness, the pace of readiness to receive. It requires a void. It requires an emptiness to be ready. And let your breath continue. Continue in the pace. Continue in that rhythm. And as you do, just become aware that this life force, every moment that you breathe, every moment that you inhale, and every moment that you exhale, is creation. Every moment that you breathe, every movement that you breathe in and breathe out, you are choosing new energy and new air. And when you become consciously aware of your breath, you begin to become even more conscious of your own energy, because it's all part of your field. And take these words in as we finish up the meditation. Feel these words as you continue to breathe. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. Oh, and feel the amazing breath that comes over you as you take that I am in. And now consciously, just allow your energy to expand back out with all that fresh life force filtering through your system. Look at the enormity and the glorious light that you carry with you always. Watch as this beautiful field expands out and continues to expand beyond what you probably even ever perceived of yourself. That's the all of you, the more of you. And then as you align that energy with your higher self, with the greatest part of yourself, you just grow and expand and become bigger and larger and more magnificent. So bringing your awareness back to this space now. Thank you for walking there with us. Thank you for participating there with us. And now we're going to have an amazing conversation about self-awareness and about why. Welcome back. Hi.
Hey. That was good.
Got a little, all right, we did all right. All right. So why? Why is this so important? Why is this thing seem so important? And for me, ultimately, I think why answers the reason or purpose for something. And I know that sounds pretty generic, but I think that it's important to understand when we look for why. I think we've been bogged down over time and it kind of encouraged not to go there because it can become a very mental process. And so we can become kind of mired in this loop of mental processing about what we think why is. And what I want to tell you about why is that that's not where it lives. And the reason I say that is because when you truly tap into why is a somewhat visceral experience. And what I mean by that is when you hit why, there is this kind of that happens. It's regardless of what the answer is, you get this sense of arriving. You get this sense of clarity that is not just about connecting, oh yeah, A, B, C. It's connecting dimensionally. It's connecting on many levels. It's not just A plus B equals C. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And that distinction is a big one because we often go in our heads and answer why with our intellect or finding reason. As you say that, I'm thinking about kind of mundane decisions and how that works. So, for example, I might say, I'm going to go get Mexican food for lunch. And you'll say, why? Say, well, because I'm hungry and I like it. Mm-hmm. Is there more for that kind of decision? Is there a deeper why?
I think ultimately, truly, every decision has a deeper why. Every choice has a deeper why. Because, and I say that because everything is ultimately about energy, the support of an energy or the not support of an energy. And that energy is us. What we just did in that meditation and being aware of the field. That field is in essence who you are. This is just a physical representation of what that is. And this physical representation is no different than what I talked about earlier in perception. This is a perception. This is, I mean, yeah, we're here, but this is a reflection of. So it's like smoke and mirrors, but it's not really smoke and mirrors, because it's the smoke and mirror part is us being here doing this. So the why of it sometimes, what I'm beginning to understand is that when we drill down into the why, so you say, okay, I'm going to have Mexican food. Oh, great. Why do I want Mexican food? Well, because I'm hungry. Okay. Why Mexican? Well, because I like the way the food tasted. Spicy. Cool. Why spicy? Well, because spicy makes me feel warm. Spicy makes my body feel good. Oh, okay. Why does it make your body feel good? Because it makes me feel more grounded and more warm and more connected. And suddenly we're in a place that has nothing to do with food. But what I'm going to say is that I think that's true of every why.
Yes.
I think every why takes you to an experience, not to a thing. The thing is the representation of what we think we know about who we are. And so the why for me takes us deeper and deeper and deeper. And if you're willing to go there, you'll go to that place that we talked about a minute ago, where you just, it's not really reaching bottom. It's the place of clarity. It's the moment of, oh, this is what drives me to do this. And depending on how open you are, there are lots of things that can influence that. And those things can be life experience currently, life experience past life, generational experiences generated through the DNA because you've stimulated memories and thoughts of things that you're processing. So there's lots of places this can come from. But ultimately, the why of it takes it, the more you are willing to go there. And if you noticed in this last demonstration, there was a point where it seemed to turn, meaning it went from physical to something else. I didn't contrive that. I was simply doing it in the moment. Now, I'm not having a craving for Mexican food, so it isn't necessarily my process. But the point of it is, I had the same experience when I did it in meditation and when I've done it earlier, is that every single time I drilled into why, I ended up into an experience and a feeling and a place of energy instead of a place of a thing. So in the last one I did, I was thinking about a red car. I wanted a red sports car. And where it ended up going was an attachment to the color red, because I wanted to feel more alive. And so the car was going to make me feel more alive. Well, that's not true. But it doesn't mean you can't have the car. But when you understand the why of it, this is where this came up for me, is because a lot of times I want this red sports car and it's my thing. And I see it and I go and I have my pictures and I have my board and I have my meditate, I do all this to focus on my red car. And I keep going, there's the red car. Oh, just missed it. There's the red car. Oh, just missed it. I'm this close. I'm almost at my red. Why can't I manifest my red car? Because you don't understand the why of the red car. You don't understand what it is you really want. And a lot of times when you get to the why, the thing no longer holds significance. And I find that absolutely fascinating, because you release the thing and now suddenly you're full again because you filled the gap that you thought the car was going to fill.
Yes. I want to share a story. You might remember this.
Please.
A couple years ago, my wife and I moved to Cardiff by the Sea, and we had an apartment that from the balcony had a beautiful view of the ocean, and at sunset I could see the sparkling on the waves. It was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And you came over and I said, I want that wherever I live next, I want this view because it feels so good. And you said, no, you don't. You want the feeling that you get from having this view. Yeah. And I realized I might be able to get that at Rocky Mountain National Park, looking at the top of the mountain. I might be able to get that living by a stream. I might be able to get that going for a walk. There's lots of ways to generate that feeling. So that feeling was the why. I mistakenly thought it was the thing. And just with a little bit of nudging, I realized, oh, it's this feeling inside. Maybe there's other ways to get it that don't require an ocean view.
And that's the whole trick right there is what it changed in you was you went from, I'm looking at this perspective, this I'm looking through my monocle, I love this view, to, oh, I can get this view from a whole lot of different perspectives, or I can get this experience from a whole lot of different perspectives simply by allowing myself to understand that my why indicates I want the experience. Why do I care how it shows up? You know what I mean? Like, what difference does it make to me? If I get the experience, why do I care if the car is red, green, blue, purple? Why do I care if it's a car?
Yes.
Why? Because we're trained to think that those are the important things. Those are the indicators. And all we're trying to say here is there's nothing wrong with having any of it. There's nothing wrong with everything you want. But if you and it are not having an alignment, if you and it are taking too long to come together, then you are not there. Your why and that thing are not aligned. Your why is different than the thing you think you want. So your thought says that's important, but your why says, no, it's not. And your why will always win because your why is the source of you. The why comes from you.
Yeah.
So it is your beliefs, your understanding of yourself, your experience in life. It all sources from here.
Well, two things come to mind. One is I'm imagining having this conversation with some people and where they say, yeah, I want Mexican food or whatever it is. And if I pursue the why, they'll say, whatever, I just want Mexican food. Leave me alone. So a lot of people won't want to go there. And I know we both share a penchant for enjoying unpacking things and peeling back layers. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it might be uncomfortable. Or the word why, it often makes people defensive, like, am I doing something wrong?
Yes. So, and that's a very good, go ahead, sorry. Really,
yeah, I think this practice is, it leads people to a willingness to unpeel and look deeper so that, and we can ask why about that, so that they can be happier, be uplifted.
Yeah. And that's ultimately where it's supposed to take us. You know, the thing about, I love that we're using this idea of Mexican food as an example because it serves in many different dimensions. The first, to me, the other one is be mindful of the brain drain. It can be fun. And if you're enjoying the process of it, that's great. But you can also, but remember, this is an internal piece here. So you're not, you know, this isn't about going out to all your friends and saying, you know, they say, oh, I'm manifesting $1 million. Well, why? You know, and grilling your friends on that. This is a personal process. And not that you can't support your friends in that, but learn it here. Learn what the experience of that is, because it's not, because if it's used as a way of browbeating yourself, you're not going to get anywhere anyway. If you're using it as a way to because a lot of times this is sort of a, what do you call this? I lost the words. It can become a tool for self-abuse if you're inclined that way, because then you can start abusing yourself about why you want something and you're not going to get there from here. So the whole idea of diving into the why is a receptive space. You know, in the meditation I talked about being void of air, being in that space of void, being ready and preparing the space to receive. That's really what why is about. It's saying, I'm curious. Why do I want that? What's that about? Why do I want that? And just gently taking yourself into that process, you're going to encounter resistance because the things you have to get through first are all the mental constructs and all the trained and entrained concepts and ideas that you have that you're aware of. The point of this is to get beyond that to the truly deep and motivational experience that's going on that I am craving or desiring this because I want to feel something. I want to experience something in my own realm of experience here that I don't feel like I have. And so I feel like I wandered a little.
What I'm wondering is the why inevitably connected with an emotional need?
Can be, because I think the why is going to be, it's a combination. I think there's some of it is about beliefs. It's about what exists below the conscious threshold. So that can be lots of different things depending on how things are stored in your energy system, how you have taken events or impact events or and processed them or left them in your field, attended or unattended. And when I say left in your field is that when you have an emotional experience, when you have an impactful experience, if you don't resolve it, if it doesn't come to a place of harmony, it's going to sit somewhere in your field until you resolve it. It's going to sit somewhere out in this massive experience of who you are in this kind of dense area of your energy because it's waiting or it's needing attention. So those things, those unconscious things are the things that this process of the why is about. So where it goes is going to be deeply personal. And you'll know the experience because you'll kind of just, as you're saying, like we were doing in the other exercise, you get to this point where you go, you say, why? Okay, why do I feel that way? And then your answer is, oh. And when you recognize that thing in you, whether it's a feeling or an experience or an emotion or a thought or any number of those things, it resonates in a way that causes a sort of a woof, like a, I don't know what other words to use here. It's just a moment of you go, oh, and it makes sense. And all of a sudden dots connect and things click. And it's like you brought another piece of yourself to the game. And suddenly you have an understanding of yourself in a way that you never did before. And then you can look at the fancy red car and go, well, is that still what I desire? And it may or may not be. But the desire for it will change because now you understand what drove it. And you may find a look at it and go, oh, that's not as attractive as I thought it was. What I really like is that, or what I'm really feeling is now that I have this piece of me back, I don't even need that. I can take this and start working with it. I can take this new piece and begin to expand on that. So it's again, that's why I say none of it is bad or wrong. You can get there either direction. You know, you go get the red car. The point of getting the red car is to continue to stimulate that memory. Well, we get caught up in the physicalness of the red car and don't pay attention to that as much. But that's still the driving consciousness is red, 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 red. So you're stimulating that in yourself continually until you can get to the point of recognizing why that's being stimulated.
Right.
And if you get so caught up in the thing, you lose track of why you're being attracted to it to begin with.
A place where a lot of us have experience with this is with food. We talk about Mexican food, but also I'm thinking ice cream.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we've all had the experience of I'm craving ice cream now, and we know it's to comfort ourselves or I just want this boost of energy or whatever it is. But when we have, there's things called comfort foods and we turn to them because whatever, we're sad or frustrated, whatever it is, we need to change our emotional state. And we know eating certain food will do it. Or for some people it's going shopping and buying shoes or clothes or whatever will do it. So most of us are aware of experiences where we're seeking to gratify ourselves, make ourselves feel better by consuming or shopping. And I think the point that we're making here is those actions won't satisfy the need in a lasting way. It'll be more of a band-aid, and then the need will still be there. And once you tune into what you're satisfying, there's lots of ways to take care of it.
Yeah, and that's really huge and really important because the other thing to recognize is that the shopping is a perfect example. When you don't acknowledge what drives you to shop, when you don't understand the why of what drives that, then you continue to create that. And that's how you continue to create the shopaholic experience, That's how you would create the hoarding experience. That's how you would create an energy. You create a whole different dynamic in your energy system that begins to crave that thing, thinking it's satisfying something, and it's not. It just adds to it and keeps it on this treadmill. So, and when I say treadmill or the hamster wheel, you know, the hamster wheel spins, right? It comes back to the same point continually. So that same point is every time you're triggered, you're going to go shopping. Every time you have a feeling that's associated with the thing you don't understand about your why, you're going to go shopping, or you're going to eat, or you're going to do whatever it is that you have trained yourself to do, rather than stop and say, why am I craving that? Why do I want to eat that? Why do I, you know, and people will go, who wants to go through all of that? Who wants to deal with, you know, all of that? Well, maybe you don't. But so what you're going to deal with instead is the continuous unconscious behavior of shopping and eating all the time. And you'll never break the cycle. You'll just continue to mold it and evolve it and continue to expand that behavior as a way of avoiding the feeling.
So fundamentally, asking the question why makes us conscious of our choices.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you can't shop. That's the thing that you got to understand is it's not about looking at this as have and have not, because the funny thing is if, like I said before, when you reach that place of clarity, the shopping doesn't matter anymore. So now that the shopping doesn't matter anymore, do you still want to go shopping? You know, yes. Now that the shopping is not charged, is it something you really want to do? And it may be, because you may really need a pair of shoes for work. You know, and so now you can go buy a pair of shoes for work, but the clarity of that intention is not about shopping. It's about shoes for work. So now all of your attention is where you want it to be, because you've clarified the why, which is I'm shopping for whatever your why was. Well, I'm not doing that anymore, but I do need a pair of shoes. So now I can put all my energy into buying the best possible pair of shoes that I really want, that's going to be comfortable, that are going to serve the purpose of whatever I'm buying them for. You know, it becomes you peel away all of the distracted energy so that you can focus on what it is you really want to accomplish. And in that moment, the pair of shoes is important. You got to have shoes. You got to have shoes to leave the house and go to work. Okay, cool. But it becomes an easy process. It becomes a simple process and not a thing. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people will choose to do the shopping in order to meet the emotional need because it works and they know it and it's familiar and they see nothing wrong with it. And there is nothing wrong with it as long as people are aware of what they're doing, what need they're meeting.
Yeah. And that's, and I think ultimately that's a trick with this whole conversation, is that there is no wrong way here. This is the reason that we're having this conversation, is it's just another avenue that we can choose to take to become more conscious, to become more clear, and to not be motivated by unconscious motivation, but to allow ourselves to become more conscious of what we are motivated by. Because one, it could be that the thing you're motivated by doesn't ultimately serve you. And so becoming conscious of that enables you to completely break down that behavior pattern, completely break down that emotional cycle, completely release the generational aspects of the energy that may be involved, because you could be operating from a continuing generational influence that has been passed down over and over and over and over again. And it's how it operates in your psyche. But the minute you understand the why, it releases you and everyone else that's attached to that belief all the way back through your history, because that energy is no longer necessary. And you are the one who got to free that energy, because you became conscious enough to say, you know, I don't like being in this space, or I don't want to be in this space in this way. How can I change it? Learn your why, because your why will take you to the clarity of your alignment. And that's ultimately where I want to drive this message today, is the why takes you to a clarity of your alignment to the thing you desire, the thing you think you want. And what I mean by that is, again, it's easier to see in the near miss. It's easier to see in, I want this thing and I can't seem to get there from here. And you all know that feeling. Every single one of you listening to this show know that feeling of wanting something and feeling it, and feeling it's just out of your reach, or feeling it's just beyond your grasp and you can't figure out why. And so you take that and internalize it. And now it's about me being, now it's about something wrong with me. What's wrong with me that I can't get there from here? That's not the correct question. Why do I want that is the correct question. What's my why for that? And drill into it until you find out where the incongruence is between where your alignment is and the thing that you want. Because I can tell you that they are not the same.
Yeah. Well said. That was powerful.
That's good stuff. So that's, you know, this, that, that's really where are we at? Have I been babbling a long time? I have, my goodness. So let's take a quick break. and we're going to come back on the other side of the break. We're going to have Moshe talk to you about his book or his work or whatever it is he would like to talk about with you for just a moment. So we'll be right back right after this.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Y'all, www.thesciencetransformation.com. I would love to work with you. I've had a wonderful practice going for many years, worked with hundreds of people, and I can tell you this process is pretty powerful and has a profound impact on the trajectory of your life. All of this is all about the same, changing your relationship with fear, changing your relationship with the diminished part of yourself to find all of the potential available to you through that opportunity-based experience. So www.thesciencetransformation.com. Check it out. We're going to bring Moshe back in here. Moshe's going to talk to you all about all the amazing things he's got going on. Moshe, the floor is yours.
All right. What I want to talk about for a moment is coaching. I've been doing a lot of executive leadership coaching, and the changes I get to witness are incredible. What happens when people are encouraged to come from love, and that is energy that uplifts and connects. That's what I talk about in this book, The Amari Wave. When people feel safe enough to tap into that energy, these memories come up, these patterns get revealed, and it is astonishing. And people then choose to let go of it and find themselves, like we were talking about, the why. They find their true why in terms of life, in terms of business, and it is incredible. So if that interests you, of finding your why through the power of love and applying that in a leadership role in business, let me know. And my website is listed. You can get hold of me through Jim, and let's see what happens.
Fantastic. And if you didn't get to see it, here it is one more time. Moshe's book, check it out. The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work. Powerful stuff, guys. And Moshe has really created a powerful movement. I encourage you, either theamariwave.com or MosheEngelberg.com. You can check out either one. And he's an amazing man. That's why he's on the show. All right. Awesome stuff. We got, what do we got? About 10 minutes, 9 minutes or so. So let's just kind of take this now. We've talked a lot about uncovering the why. We've kind of walked through how to kind of drill down into that. And it's just simply gently. The thing is being easy with yourself about it will yield more results than driving yourself. Then why, you know? That's not going to get you where you need to go. Remember, the stuff that is below the conscious threshold in our consciousness is, I believe, and I don't know this for a fact, but I believe a lot of that is because if we understood or knew all of it, we wouldn't be able to process it. This human brain could not take all of that information. So we have what we understand as our conscious awareness, and that as we become more aware of the incongruence of this illusion that we're living, we start to go, wait a second, there's more. What's the more? What's going on? And we start to want to understand more of our own experience and ourselves. And that begins to trigger this subconscious, unconscious stuff to begin to operate. And that as it begins to operate, rather than letting it unconsciously manage us, we want to become conscious of its influence. And part of that, I think, is through asking the questions why. Part of that is through being able to understand what motivates your energy, because even you don't know what motivates your energy. And that's the funny part, is we're afraid of what we don't know, when what we don't know, we don't know. And that's kind of an oxymoron, because the only way to know it is to settle, is to get quiet, is to find a space of receptivity within yourself to let that stuff percolate and let it come up so that you can see it and go, holy crow, where did that come from? And why would I want to continue to operate from that place? I don't need to anymore. Boom. The level of freedom, the level of connection that you've just created changes your life in that moment, changes the trajectory of your life in that moment.
So that awareness makes it a choice point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it's all about in the end, is choosing, where do I want to focus my energy? Where do I want to move forward? And while it sounds kind of clinical, and in a way it is, because we're operating from being the observer of the experience and then allowing ourselves through that observer space to, that's what self-awareness brings us to, that observer space. It brings us to that place of unattachment. So we don't get invested in what it's supposed to look like. We're allowing it to look like what it is, how it's there, what it is, what the experience is, without us using the brain or the mind to manage or influence that.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me there still is attachment. There's attachment, like in the story I told before about, I want that ocean view. And you said, no, you don't. And I realized, I want the feeling that goes with it. So I have attachment that feeling to, I want to be in that emotional state. It feels good.
So maybe attachment, and this could be definitely another show, but maybe attachment is really exactly what you described. We attach to things as a way of, as opposed to the idea that we attach to them because we want them, we want to hold on to them. Maybe we attach to them as a way in our consciousness to keep us connected to that energy that's trying to bring awareness to something more and greater. So our unconscious process is attached to it. Stick with it. Because if we stick to it, eventually it's going to show us what it is we need to see. But we may have to go through a whole lot of crazy and minutiae to get there because of whatever fight or resistance or unconsciousness that we have going on that we need to also surrender. But it's just a kind of interesting idea that the attachment is actually an unconscious conscious way. So it's the higher self's way of connecting you to that thing that will constantly stimulate that trigger in your subconscious until you're willing to become conscious of it. Interesting thought process.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't know where that'll take me, but we'll see what happens with that. So So in the end, I think it's important to really recognize the gift of why, and not, why can be a burden if it's driven by the mind, because the mind is going to want evidence. The mind likes to soldier gather. So it's going to look for all of the evidence that it's stored in the warehouse of your consciousness to give you reasons about, instead of experiences of. And that's where I think the difference in the gift of why is that the more you ask the question, the more you're going into the experience of and allowing that to inform your consciousness, as opposed to a mind that's linearly trying to write a sentence. You know what I mean? What do you think about that?
I like that difference, that contrast between reasons versus experience. And ultimately, we're here to experience.
Exactly. Yes. That's what I think. That's what I think my why is. You know, my big, we talked at the beginning of the show, we weren't going to talk a lot about the big why. The cool thing is that as you get more of these other whys clarified, the bigger why becomes even greater and more powerful, because now you're not, your power is not locked into these clumps of energy in your field that you're not giving rise to, that you're not allowing to integrate or dissipate or whatever it is they need to do. So as we've talked about before, you get these clumps in your field, these densified energy spaces. And so the energy doesn't flow as cleanly and as purely. But every time you release one, every time one reintegrates into its energetic experience, you've now reclaimed a part of your power. You've reclaimed a part of your energy in a very conscious way. But that reclaiming is like, in my experience, it's like clicking that last puzzle piece finding that corner piece or that side piece that you've been looking for in the jigsaw puzzle. Or the other experience I have of it is a sense of wholeness that I've never had before. Like a piece of me came back online and it was like, whoa, where's that been? And suddenly I feel more of me than I've ever felt before. Do you relate with that experience, Moshe?
I do. And I want to, for those listening, Jim is a master dot connector. And that's how he helps people find meaning in experiences. And so I want to invite you, Jim, to connect dots between something that seems trivial, we'll go back to the Mexican food example, to the greater why.
So again, I think we just kind of did that a little bit. When the stuff that lives below the conscious threshold is just as much us as the stuff that we're conscious of. So when I say it's just as much us, it's all part of the whole package. It's part of the whole deal. And if we're here to experience, then the way the dots are going to connect is that I have to have a desire birth from me, something that I want, something that I am seeing in the world that I want to connect to. And so I focus and I'm saying, oh, that feels really good. And in this moment, it's Mexican food and I'm connecting to the Mexican food. And so that's the first point of entry. And I go, that's going to really feel good. And then I say, but why am I going to eat that Mexican food? What am I going there for? And you go down into the surface stuff. You go into the mind stuff. Oh, I'm hungry. I like Mexican food. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like cheese. I like chips and cheese. I like cheese with chips. And your mind will just go on and on and on. And you say, okay, that's great. But why do you like cheese with chips? Why do you like that? Well, because, you know, and let it matriculate down. You don't have to manage or control this. You're by asking the question of yourself, your mind and your subconscious will respond. They will give you responses. And the more you drill into it, the more deeply those responses will resonate with you. So the initial responses will be nice and fun. And you may laugh at some of them and some of them may be silly. And some of you may go, what the hell does that mean? It doesn't matter. Continue the process of the why. And then as you go down further, suddenly you've gone from I love cheese and I love this and I love cheese and chips and I love cheese in bowls and I love cheese everywhere. And the next thought you have is because I feel stuck. Like, what? I feel stuck. Why do I feel stuck? Oh, now we're getting into a whole panorama of whole different animal here. Now we're into the actual energy of the subconscious starting to come forward and saying, wow, I want to eat Mexican food because I feel stuck. Well, yes, because the dot that connects is cheese is heavy, is dense, is grounding, is bringing me into, I feel heavy and dense. So I'm matching heavy and dense inside with outside. Remember perception? Perception is what I'm carrying in here. Perception is saying, I'm feeling heavy. Oh, I'm feeling heavy. So I should eat heavy. I need to eat heavy because I feel heavy, 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 heavy. So I start eating heavy food because I think I want heavy. When really the message is the why, I feel heavy. What can I now what happens? Oh, well, why would I want to eat more heavy if I already feel heavy? Why do I feel heavy? Now that you're going to go down that trail, but suddenly now you may end up at carrots at the end, because what you recognize is, oh, I'm feeling heavy. So my system is really mucousy. My system is really dense. I need to do something different to make my system less dense. What can I do? And now you're in a whole different ballpark. But the thing to remember is that you're not going to miss the Mexican food. You're going to be excited about the food that's going to fill that space for you. You're going to be excited about, oh, that carrot. Holy shit. I thought I wanted Mexican, but that carrot looks like, oh, you know, I'm exaggerating. But the point is that's really the difference in your experience of it. Instead of looking at the carrot going, God, that looks boring. You look at the Mexican and go, gosh, that looks heavy. That carrot looks amazing. And then when you eat it, you've got all that energy going in of amazement and wonder and joy and all the things that are, so that food, as it's going in and translating back into energy, is filling your field and your energy and your cells of your body with that energy that you've now brought back in online in your own self. I hope that made sense.
Yes. I'm so hungry for Mexican food. I'll figure out why.
It was just an example that we get to use because it helps to make sense of the process if we take it to the basics. But we are out of time. We are over time. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for listening to me babble. Thank you for Moshe, as always, for encouraging my babble and for encouraging this amazing conversation. I appreciate you so much and what we do here on this show, on this day. So until we meet again, find your joy, people. Where's yours? And why do you want it? Ha. Have a great day. Thank you, Moshe. I appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
Till next time.
Till next time. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.